T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Friday. 20 minutes away from the lunchtime Falcons report. Some keys to the game for the Falcons to, end this skid, man. Get off this losing streak. Frustrating thing is you got 6 losses in a row. The Saints got 6 wins in a row. You got 2 teams in very different situations right now. So, I don't know, maybe give them a loss, get yourself a win, and start the second half of the season off right. We'll get to that in 20 minutes. We got Sports Jeopardy coming up at 12:40, as we always do on Fridays. Wendy's still taking questions. If you've got some good trivia questions for us to get to at 12:40, send them to Wendy on social media, at Wendy Radio, either on Twitter or on Instagram. But as we always do to kick off the noon hour, the most important audio in the world, the Braxton Big Clip of the Day, brought to you by Braxton Automotive. For more info, go to BraxtonAutomotive.com.
I'm going to be that second voice, or that whatever Brox need in the room to back him, you know, in that sense of being a coach and having an understanding of, you know, we need everybody in the room, regardless, practice squad guys or whatever. We need everybody to be crisp on their details, things like that, because it's always next man up.
Yeah, that's Julio Jones yesterday talking about some of the coaching changes that went on during the bye week, and the fact that Raheem Morris is no longer there with them, and Dave Brock is the wide receivers coach, and kind of sounds like Julio is taking on a lot of the responsibility of that room right now as well. Like, honestly, like, it sounds like Julio really is shouldering some of that load.
Well, he's the elder statesman there, man. So yeah. I mean, that's something that falls on a lot of guys who are the older guys in their position room. So I mean, but Wendy pointed out, you know, when we were up at training camp, we saw Julio. He was coaching more than he was out there, and of course, he was rehabbing, but it also had something to do with the contract. So this doesn't surprise me at all. But you know. Whatever works, man. That's why I said. That's the thing right now. if that works and it helps you get a win this weekend, then, hey, Julio, take over the damn meetings. You know what I'm saying? You get the clicker, the cowboy, and you run it back.
There's been a lot more Julio this year than we really, in other ways, than we anticipated. He was given the post-game speech that everybody was freaking out about a couple weeks ago. Unfortunately, it didn't result in a win. Now he's second voice in the room, in the wide receivers room.
But he's always been second voice. Raheem was in there. Julio was that voice.
So your point is absolutely right, Randy. Like, whatever works. So whatever you got to do to try to get a victory, you think this is going to do it?
No.
Yeah. No. Probably not. But maybe. Maybe it will. And if the Falcons are to win on Sunday against the Saints, I think Julio has to have a really good game.
He does.
I think Calvin Ridley. I know Calvin Ridley's had a nice year. Has it felt? I mean, I don't know. There's been so many other disappointments. Right. I haven't really had time to spend on guys that have been pretty good. Has it felt like Calvin Ridley has taken that next step entirely? Does it?
No, it doesn't. But it's not. I don't think a lot of it's on him, on his plate either. But one thing with Calvin is that he's getting a favorable matchup this game. He's going against Eli Apple, and then he's going to maybe be matched up. Because you remember last year he was matched up against P.J. Williams, and he just cooked him.
3 touchdowns, right?
Cooked him.
In one game.
Yes. I mean, that footwork was unbelievable. But, yeah, if he goes against Eli Apple, it'd be the same thing. Because Eli, he's still breastfeeding and everything. Soft sell.
Gross.
Yeah, he's so soft, man.
Is that worse than seltzer?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Accidentally. Just once.
Wait, what?
Accidentally
what?
Like, put the wrong milk one time.
In what?
In food.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad.
How long ago?
The Samson 6.
That's gross.
Yeah, it was really nasty.
Wow. I didn't.
Yeah, because, you know, it was in the container.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Like cereal?
Yeah.
Did you eat the whole bowl?
No, I figured out what it was.
How many bites?
Just one. I was like, oh, yeah. It's not good.
Man, I had something, but it's totally gone now. I don't know why.
Energy, passion, excitement, that looseness. And those guys love playing baseball. Somebody asked me, we're at the All-Star game for the Home Run Derby, if you thought Ronald would be nervous. And I'm thinking the baseball field between those lines is the last place those two young men are going to be nervous.
I swear to God, I had something else to say about the Falcons, and I just don't know what it is now. Yep. Okay. So that was Brian Snitker talking about Ronald Acuna and Ozzy Albies in season. Energy, excitement, enthusiasm, all that. The reason we're playing that is because Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman, and Ozzy Albies were all named Silver Sluggers yesterday. They're the only team in baseball that has three Silver Sluggers. That's exciting.
I'm sorry.
No, don't
I'm
be sorry.
I'm sorry. Just like the sorry. Disappointment on Brian's face.
No, I don't think anyone's disappointed. I think everyone's just shocked.
Yeah, the disappointment on Brian's face.
I'm sure other people have done that too.
Yeah, that's a big time, award for those three guys, man. Uh-huh. And like you said earlier, when we discussed this and what's trending, these guys are going to be here. These are the pillars of the organization. You got Ronnie, who, and no, I'm not looking forward to list season, but I want to see the list of what people think are the top 10 baseball players in the MLB, and where does he come in?
Where do you think he is? Ronald Acuna right now? Trout.
Trout.
Garrett Cole, maybe.
Yeah. Yelich.
Scherzer. Yelich. Bellinger.
Yeah.
I mean, he's somewhere around five. Crazy thing is some of those guys, well, Garrett Cole this offseason is a free agent. He's going to get so much money.
Yes.
He's going to get such an unbelievable amount of money. I don't know who is going to sign him, but somebody's going to pay him a crazy amount. Great news for the Braves, though. Like, obviously, it doesn't make up for the fact that you lost the series against the Cardinals that you shouldn't have lost.
Wow. Brian just told me they're talking about 7 for $280 for Cole?
For Garrett Cole?
Damn.
Yeah. And that's the starting point. I wonder, here's the thing, though. Like, Garrett Cole, clearly best pitcher in baseball last year, right?
Yeah.
Now, they didn't win the World Series. I understand that. But he was the best pitcher in baseball last year. Is this going to be like what we dealt with last year with Bryce Harper and Manny Machado?
Yes,
and
I think
it's going to
so.
Take all the way into mm-hmm. spring training? Why?
I don't know.
Because of collusion.
Collusion.
That's why. Because of collusion. And that's why Major League Baseball Players Association jumped all over Alex Anthopoulos yesterday for even hinting at the idea that general managers might talk to each other about free agents. Of course they do. Because if they didn't, say they didn't, then what's going on with Bryce Harper and what happened last year with Dallas Keuchel and what happened last year with Craig Kimbrell, that would just mean that owners and general managers all got really smart
yeah.
all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Of course they didn't get really smart.
Dude.
They're talking to each other.
7 for $280?
I mean, I'll take it.
Gracious.
I'll take it. I'll do basically anything for 7 years for $280 million.
That's a guap.
I mean, almost anything.
Almost.
Almost anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, good news for the Braves. Those guys are all coming back next year. Hopefully Freddie Freeman's surgery and recovery goes well and get back at it next year and go further into the playoffs. If you go as far next year as they went this year, that'll be a huge disappointment. Yeah. We got NLCS and hopefully into the World Series next season.
You guys always ask me, what are you going to do different this week because you're playing the number one team in the country? Well, you know, every game that we play is an important game, especially when you're playing in the SEC, especially when you're playing in your division. And this is most certainly an important game. But if there was a better way to do it, we'd already be doing it.
That's Nick Saban just patting himself on the back and giving Timmy Tube Socks not the answer he was looking for, probably. Why do I get the feeling, I don't know if you feel like this or not.
Okay.
Why do I get the feeling that Alabama's going to kind of take care of LSU in emphatic fashion tomorrow?
I don't know.
You don't feel that way?
Everybody's thinking that. I mean, I don't know where LSU's mindset is. I mean, they've been a really good football team. But this is not the first time they've been a good football team heading to this game.
The only difference
is the offense.
That's,
you know what I'm saying?
Huge
the offense
difference.
And everybody sees them going up and down the field and all that. And we think this is a change LSU team. We'll see tomorrow because I'll make my official pick tomorrow on College Football Game Time here on Sports Radio 99 The Game from 9 to noon tomorrow. But is LSU over that mental hump with Alabama? Because you lose to a team 8 years in a row, and we've been in this position as far as rank when we played them last year.
Well, they were the third-ranked team in the country last year when they played Alabama.
That's what I'm saying. So can they get over that part right there? That's the most interesting thing to me. Can they get over that part? I think physically and talent-wise, they're cool. They can play with Alabama. But it's that mental part about it. And then they're going to T-Town?
Right. That's a huge factor. I know they both are coming off bye weeks. I know that. But just something about Nick Saban off a bye week, man. I just – 29-0 last year. I know it's a totally different offense. I know that. They got to start fast.
Yes, man.
They got to get off to a good start.
Because that's what I keep talking about. I keep talking about – if Alabama gets out front and they get into that, oh, here we go again mode, you can't do that. I'm absolutely correct with you. But they got to score in the red zone. You cannot kick a whole bunch of field goals in this game, because I don't know if LSU's defense can stop Alabama.
That's the other thing about it, is even if LSU does get off to a fast start, which they have to, because if they get off to a slow start and then all that mental stuff creeps back in like you're talking about, Alabama could boat race these guys. I mean, we could be talking about like a 31-10 type game, something like that. Alabama can win a shootout too, though. Like, I think LSU can only win one type of game. Alabama can win multiple types of games against LSU, I think. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you'll be proven wrong tomorrow. That's just the feeling that I get about their team. Even if LSU does score first, like, I wouldn't be at all shocked. And this is crazy to say about an LSU-Alabama game that we saw in 9-6 8 years ago.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised to see this game with both teams in the 30s.
Right. I mean, that's a possibility. The one thing we know about Tua, he does not play well when he's hurt. But, I mean, who does?
True.
But, I mean, we've seen a lot of evidence of him playing with that ankle last year. I know it's a different ankle and everything, but that's his front leg as far as when he's throwing the football. And, you know, what is he – how was he reacting when he got bodies around his legs? You know, when he's hit, how did he react to that? I mean, there's a certain amount of things that go in with it. But I just – I mean, my biggest thing with this game is, where's LSU mentally? Because they just haven't beaten this team. They've been ranked high before. You know, and didn't get it done because Alabama's just a better team.
The other thing, too, is, you know, LSU missing one of their key players on defense. Michael Divinity not on the team anymore. Delpit's banged up as well. I know Tua's banged up, but Delpit's banged up, too.
Is.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I think Alabama's going to win the game. I think they're going to cover the spread, but we'll find out tomorrow in the game of the century.
For the second year in a row.
For the second year in a row.
It's a single-minded focus on one thing. We can't look past that. As far as buy-in, they never didn't buy in. They have bought in the whole entire time. There's been a sense of urgency for our guys for a long time.
Kirby Smart there talking about the importance of this week and not looking past Mizzou and all that. We understand that. You come off of an emotional victory against a rival. I don't know if you say get your season back on track, but prove some of the naysayers wrong with the performance that you had last week. And you got to do it again this week against Missouri. I know Brad Nessler was on the radio station a couple different times this week. We talked to him. He was on over the weekend as well, talking about how Georgia's offense isn't quite as sexy as it was in the past. What is sexy about Georgia?
I don't know.
It's kind of weird. Like, they're a really good team.
But they ain't sexy.
But there's nothing sexy. Like, their defense is great. Like, they don't get to the quarterback that much.
No.
They don't cause that many turnovers.
No.
There's just a collection of really good players on defense.
Right.
Kind of the same thing on offense, too. Like, having a great offensive line isn't sexy. It's important.
It's important.
But, you know, people aren't, you know, getting crazy on TV talking about offensive lines and doing highlight shows about offensive lines. Georgia's just a really good football team.
They're a good football team. That's what, I mean, that's the thing right there. The sexiness is in being good. I mean, that's the only thing I can point to.
Is Rodrigo Blankenship the sexiest part of Georgia football?
No.
No. Okay. Those glasses?
No. He tried to get me there. No.
No, I'm not trying to get anybody. I'm just asking a question. I think it's DeAndre Swift. It's DeAndre Swift, probably, and what he can do when the ball is in his hands.
What?
The most exciting part of the team.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the team, like, if you're, unfortunately.
There's some exciting players on there. We just don't use them to be exciting.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
And that's why the offense isn't sexy.
Exactly. Especially from the skill position player. There's some dudes that can get it done if you get in the football. But we don't do enough of that.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, I'd like to see Georgia do more of that before the SEC championship game, assuming that they get to the SEC championship game. And start fast, too. We said the same thing for LSU. Georgia hasn't scored on their opening drive since the Tennessee game. Like, get off to a good start,
why
man.
Why not? Yeah. Why not, man? Hey, this is where they're going to be at on Sunday. Paul Crane and and Harry Douglas.
Woo!
They will be at Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Decatur this Sunday starting at 11 a.m. for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff. It's an Atlanta watch party. It will start at noon. There will be prize giveaways, and an alumni from the Falcons will be on site. So make sure y'all go out there and holler at our boys.
Thanks for getting it right that time, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
We appreciate it. The Lunchtime Falcons Report coming up next. Keys to the game. Honestly, what do the Falcons have to do to beat the Saints? Can they beat the Saints? We'll get into that coming up next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Damn it, Jimmy.
Come on, Jimmy.
Three on the play clock. 2-1. Snap to Ryan. Here comes Philly. Quick throw. This is Julio Jones. 45-40. 30. 25-20. 15. 10-5. Touchdown, Atlanta. Holy goodness, folks. What a great call by either Matt Ryan or Dirk Cutter or both.
It's time for the Lunchtime Falcon Report with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, it is. Lunchtime Falcons Report on a Friday. Falcons-Saints game on Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game at 11, kickoff at 1 o'clock. It's Friday of Hate Week, Randy.
Yeah, man.
I got to be honest with you, though.
What's that?
Not quite as much starch in this Hate Week as normal,
well,
unfortunately.
I bet it is, because here's the thing. Even though as good as the Saints are and as bad as the Falcons have been, they're still trash. I know Falcons fans are still trash talking.
I hope so.
You got to.
You got to.
You know what I'm saying?
You got to
still trash talk. You can't give in to the fact that they are better than you are.
Sure.
But at the same time, if y'all go down there and get that win, and the Falcons go down there and get that win, you trash talk all week next week.
Oh, yeah.
All you trash talk. Because you know what you can say? But we beat you.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And look, who knows what the second half of the season is going to be for the Falcons. Maybe it'll be an unbelievable, miraculous 8-0 run, and they'll make the playoffs, and it'll be this great story we've never seen before. Who knows? Maybe it won't be. But it is possible that at times in the second half of the season, you're playing to try to disrupt the hopes of the team that you're playing against.
Correct.
I mean, look, the Saints are probably going to the playoffs. They're 7-1. They've won 6 in a row. Brian Baldinger, who's going to join us in an hour from right now, as he always does on Fridays from NFL Network, our radio.com NFL insider, thinks they're the best team in the NFL. You beat the best team in the NFL, that feels pretty good, even if you're 1-7 or 2-7 or whatever. So you're playing for quite a bit, obviously, but the rivalry plays into it as well.
Yeah.
The flip side of that, though, is that, I mean, rivalries have to go both ways, right? They know where you are, too. They know what your season is, too, and you don't think it would feel good to put a foot in the neck of your rival and make them 1-8?
Just step on it.
And basically put the final nail in the coffin of their season? Yeah, they're thinking about that, too.
Yeah, I mean, they got to keep things rolling, too, now. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're coming off of a bye week. They're getting hold of the team. They're thinking that Alvin Kamara will play this weekend. And with that being said, that play's going to be rocking.
Oh, yeah.
It's the New Orleans Saints and their fans don't care that the Falcons are 1-7. All right. They just know that the Atlanta Falcons coming in and they got to make it as loud as possible. And that's what they're going to do. But I mean, the Falcons could win this football game.
Before you tell me how, I want to say one thing quickly about the Lunchtime Falcons report.
Okay.
Like the goal of this segment at the beginning of the season, because we had it created, you know, Steve, who does our imaging.
Right.
He created an open where we were going to be able to insert different great Falcons highlights from the previous week.
Right.
To lead us into the segment every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You may have noticed that the highlight that brought us in here today was the Julio Jones touchdown against the Eagles in week 2.
Uh-huh.
Give us something this weekend to replace that with.
Yes.
Like, do something.
Yeah.
Because there really haven't been. Like, what has happened between that play against the Eagles
and now
that would be worthy of being a highlight that you would intro a segment with?
We'll figure it out. Let's hope so. Let's hope they make one.
I mean, make one this weekend so we can get a new open. It's feeling stale. We need to do something new.
This is how they'll beat them.
Okay, tell me, please.
They have got to protect Matt Ryan. They cannot let him get beat up. Caleb McGarry has got to get some help over there with Cam. Number two. Attack the second and third corners. You know, we know that Julio Latimer, that's going to be a battle all afternoon on Sunday. But Calvin Ridley, we saw what he did to both of those corners last year, Eli Apple and P.J. Williams. They ain't got no better. I don't care what nobody said. They are trash. Work them over with Calvin Ridley. And third, make them earn it. Make the Saints earn everything they get. I mean, don't make it too easy having guys running wide open down the field. Make them earn everything they get. They can win the football game that way.
I agree with two of the three of the things that you said. I mean, all three of them are keys, obviously, and I'm with you on that. I just don't know how.
Yes, I know. It sounds good.
Protect Matt Ryan. It sounds good, and you're right. I mean, that's the key. I mean, if you can keep Matt Ryan off the turf and he can throw the football to Calvin Ridley and the rest of these guys, the Falcons could score points. We've seen them do it this year. My number one key for this game is score the most points you've scored in a game all season.
Okay.
Not just score more than them. That's obviously, if you're going to win, that has to happen. You have to score more than 33 points. That's what they did against who today? The Arizona Cardinals, they scored 33 points against them. They scored 32 against the Texans. You've got to score 5 touchdowns this weekend. 35 points
and, get something,
and maybe something else.
A non-offensive one would be nice.
That's another one of the keys that I have written down because – just based on what we've seen in the past, and I don't know, not really much this season, but it has happened in the past, something about playing in New Orleans, being from down there, inspires Deion Jones.
Yes.
We need to see that Deion Jones, man. When's the last time you saw Deion Jones do something and you were like, whoa, look at that.
It's been a while.
That's that middle linebacker that changes games. Deion Jones, again, we said the same thing about Calvin Ridley in the 11 o'clock hour. Because there's been so much failure this season and it's been so obvious like who has been disappointing, and we've spent so much of our time and energy on Vic Beasley and on Tack McKinley and guys like that, Deion Jones has not been very good.
He hasn't. He has not had a Deion Jones year.
And I think because of all of the other frustrations, he's flown under the radar a little bit, but he's got to be good this weekend. You can't beat the New Orleans Saints if Deion Jones does not do something.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. I think everybody needs to do something. Everybody play your best game. You got to play the greatest game in the world, but everybody play your best game. You know what I'm saying? Don't let it be because of, you know, I always had a phrase, don't let it be because of me. You know what I'm saying? I know there are going to be some mistakes made. That happens in a football game. Nobody's ever played a perfect football game in their life. But, damn, play better. Play to your level of not necessarily how much you're making. Just play up to the level of what you're capable of doing. And that's all you need to do. And you can go out there and win this game.
And that's, I mean, again, that's another interesting question, because as we were trying to figure out what was sort of wrong with the Falcons early in the season, it was, is it coaching? Is it scheme? Is it talent? And I think we've sort of agreed on the idea that it is probably personnel, right? Like, So what level are you capable of playing to? That's what I don't know. Like, because if you go based on what you've seen, especially over the last month or so, I mean, the level that they're capable of playing to probably isn't good enough to beat the Saints.
Yeah.
Like, if guys just play as good as they are, like a lot of the guys, especially on defense, that's not going to be good enough.
I think the great, really?
Mm-hmm. How come? Based on what? How good are some of these guys? That's what I mean.
That's the thing about it is where's the level of where your outside rushes are? Brady can play as good as he is and get it done.
Okay.
You know, and maybe I should have said not everybody can do that, because how good, to your point, how good is people? Deion Jones can play as good as he is and be successful in this game. I think Desmond Trufant, can do the same thing. I think maybe Sheffield can probably do the same thing. Maybe Ricardo Allen. There's certain guys who we know who they are.
I think there's going to be some guys that have to surprise a little bit too, and Kendall Sheffield's one of them. Like, if this game is going to go your way, somebody's going to have to make a play. It's fine with me. I don't care who it is on defense. Somebody do it. But I'm with you. I think there are certain guys that are capable of playing to a really high level and a really high standard. They just have to do it. And that's what I'm talking about Deion Jones. Like, Deion Jones is a guy that you have to count on to be great.
I agree.
If you're going to win football games, and he hasn't been. So, I know, maybe off of a bye, maybe, because it seems to me that just in watching Deion Jones for his entire career and watching him in the 8 games this season, he doesn't have the same explosive speed that he has had in the past.
I agree.
And maybe it's because of the injury still lingering a little bit from last year, the foot and all of that. So maybe a bye week will help. But, like, guys that are great, like your stars, have to be stars if you're going to beat a team
like
this.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. If you're a star, that's as good as you are. Play that level.
Right, exactly. Because there's so many other guys that just aren't. Like, you just know that you're not going to get a great level from some of the guys and some of the guys that are starting, because unfortunately they're not capable of it. I'm with you on Caleb McGarry. Caleb McGarry has to have the game of his life.
Yep.
But that seems like a lot to ask from a rookie going against a guy who literally has more sacks than the entire Falcons team. Cam Jordan has 8 sacks. The Falcons have 7 as a squad.
7.
Yeah, It's not very many, which is not good. But, I mean, look, I hope Caleb McGarry could do it. But
7 sacks.
That's why Matt Ryan's going to have to get the ball out quickly. Yeah, no, it's awful.
They got 7.
There's, how many did you say? There's 9 individuals, 9 individual pass rushers in the NFL that have more sacks than the Falcons do as a team?
They got 7 sacks, Andy.
Yeah.
And your 2 edge rushers got 2.
Right, which is why they're not a part of my keys to the game. Like, maybe after week 3 or 4, we kind of stop talking about those guys, right?
I'm sorry, what's that again, Wendy?
There's no reason to expect Tack or Vic to get to the quarterback, because they haven't.
And this could be the game, Andy.
Okay, I mean, it could be, but there's no reason to believe that it will be.
Because this could be the game.
Okay.
You know, they're going to get the pressure, they're going to get tackles for loss, they're going to get Drew Brees on the ground. I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you? Because I don't. Like, again, that's why I'm saying that the guys that are capable of doing things that are going to win football games, like Deion Jones, like Grady Jarrett, like Julio Jones, like Matt Ryan, they have to be at their very best in this game. Because there's a lot of guys that aren't capable of doing much. And those are some of the guys. Like those guys on the edge, I'm not hanging my hopes of winning a football game on those guys doing something.
How can you?
Because they can't.
I don't think anybody is.
Right. Well,
hell, you might be sitting there in the locker room up at Fowler Rush, like looking over there at the D-line section and seeing them two dudes like, man, we know we ain't going to get no sacks from them.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's just human nature. It's human nature for you to sit there and look at your teammate that's underperforming. You're like, this guy.
What they can do is exactly what you were just talking about, and that's Calvin Ridley being a big factor in this game. He had a 3-touchdown game last year against the Saints. It's a similar secondary. I mean, you got to take advantage of the matchups where you have them, and I mean, Julio is gonna get a lot of attention. Julio always gets a lot of attention. Those other guys have to be big because you have to score a lot of points because it's not gonna be a grinded out type game. If the Falcons win this game, it, to me, is going to look a lot like what it looked like in week what? 4 last year, 5 last year when you played the Saints and it was 43-43 and went to overtime?
Yeah.
That's what this game is going to look like to me if the Falcons win. If they don't, it could be 43 from the Saints and who knows what from the Falcons.
Another beat in the Hall of Fame. I know Andy don't like this one, though.
No, the beat's fine.
Oh, you don't like the word.
I just don't think 50 Cent's that great.
Oh, well, this song was great. Wankster. Tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before the Falcons game for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff, where Harry Douglas and Paul Crane will preview the upcoming matchup against the Saints. Countdown to Kickoff is brought to you by Bud Light, brewed for the Dirty Birds.
All right, we'll come back. We've got our predictions against the spread. Last week, 1-3 was bad.
Man, homie.
2-2?
I think so.
Okay. We'll get caught up on what our records are next. We'll also play Sports Jeopardy. Me versus Randy.
I was 3-1.
Oh, you're 3-1?
Yeah, according to Wendy.
Nice. Ha-ha. There you go.
Follow that.
I can't. I went 1-3. Sports Jeopardy coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, I'm just tired of talking about sacks.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you on a Friday. Friday at 12:40 means Sports Jeopardy. We'll get to that in just a minute after we make some bets against the spread. Now, you probably heard in Mike Conti's Sports Flash there, Matt Ryan is good to go.
Yep, ready to roll.
Dan Quinn says he's gotten his mobility back. So are we expecting some running from Matt Ryan this weekend?
Yes.
All right, hopefully he doesn't have to be running for his life. But Matt Ryan will be playing this weekend for the Falcons, officially confirmed by Dan Quinn, as you just heard from Mike Conti. Maybe that changes the way you make your bets against the spread today.
Maybe.
Maybe you include the Falcons in one of your picks.
Maybe.
I don't know.
We'll see.
All right, we'll hand it over to Wendy here and get caught up on all of our standings at this point with our picks against the spread, and then we'll make our picks for this week.
So the new standings as of today, Andy, you are still in first place. We both went 3-1 last weekend.
I went 1-3.
Oh, I meant 1-3.
Okay.
That's what I meant. We're both 1-3.
I don't want to get credit for something I didn't do.
Yeah, no. That was Randy. Randy was the only one to go to 3-1. We went 1-3. Brian went 2-2. So here's how it stands. Andy's still in first, 19-16-1. I am in second, 18-17-1. Now, Randy has caught up to us. He is 17-18-1.
Ooh, right there at 500 almost.
And Brian's still in last, 14-22.
That's to be expected.
That's a big expectation.
That's why Brian's in the other room by himself.
So I'll have you guys make your picks first.
Okay. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going Bama LSU, and I'm taking Bama -6. I don't know. I feel good about Alabama. I could be completely wrong, but that's what I think about this game. I'm also taking Clemson -32.5 at NC State.
They're going to murder them.
Because they're going to beat them by 100.
Yes.
Because they're fifth in the country in the college football playoff rankings, and they're going to prove a point on Saturday against NC State. I've got Baltimore and the 10.5 against Cincinnati. They're going to cover that easily because Cincinnati's terrible, and they're starting a rookie quarterback who happened to play at NC State, by the way. And I'm taking Kansas City and the return of Patrick Mahomes -6 at Tennessee.
I know one thing. Never mind. But I'll continue to do it. I'm going to take SMU -21.5 over East Carolina. I'm going to take the +9 because I always take an over. Y'all always take the under. I always take an over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm
going to take an underdog.
Yeah. I'm going to take Iowa +9 over +9 versus Wisconsin.
Okay.
I'm going to take that Baltimore -10 in Cincinnati. And I'm taking the damn Falcons +13.5.
There you go.
Saints. And I did that before.
Before you knew Matt Ryan.
No, I knew Matt Ryan was playing.
It could have been Matt Schaub. Yes. You wouldn't have cared.
I knew Matt Ryan was playing.
What's the guy's name from LSU they got?
Edling.
It could have been Danny Etling. You wouldn't have cared. You're a confident guy when it comes to betting on the Falcons. Wendy?
All right, we'll go through Brian's picks. He has Bama in the 6 versus LSU as well. Georgia in the 16.5 versus Missouri. Bold choice.
God dog it, Brian.
Confident.
Just jinxed the team there, Brian.
Way to go.
Yes, the Ravens, the 10.5 versus the Bengals.
You said
dang
that
it,
you
Jimmy.
Jinxed people.
I mean, he's 3-9 in the last 3 weeks. That's not good. Like, Georgia shouldn't feel good about that. Anyway.
And then he also took the Cowboys in the 3 versus the Vikings.
All right.
I also have Alabama in the 6 versus LSU because I think it's going to be total domination. Baylor in the 2.5 at TCU. I know TCU's given teams some fits, but I think Baylor takes care of that 2.5. Colts in the 11 against the Dolphins. I'm sorry, Randy.
Hey, you got to apologize to me.
I had to go away from the Dolphins because they actually won last week. They finally bucked
Who
me.
Who called that?
You did. You nailed it.
But the Colts kind of need a bounce back
yes,
game at home really badly, so I think they cover that. And then the 49ers and the 6 versus the Seahawks.
That should be a fun game on Monday Night Football, yeah. though. Undefeated 49ers. All right, let's get to some sports Jeopardy
Randy.
Here on a Friday. Andy. Randy.
Andy.
Those
Randy.
Are your buzzers. Yeah. And the winner Randy. Will get their name, their social media handle, like Georgia Tech does when their player gets a turnover on our nice new midday show whiteboard.
Randy's got his name up there now. Looks good.
Under winners only. Board
hey, whatever what happened to those trash talk boards? I thought they were going to be in here all week.
I hope
they're in Knox's office.
What's it been called?
All right, we'll start here. So thank you for everybody who submitted
questions.
Who submitted questions today.
Thank you for submitting questions, everyone.
Appreciate it.
Are
you guys
ready? Yeah, I'm ready.
Randy's going to take it so seriously.
I am. I like my name on this board behind me.
There you go.
All right, we'll start here. When is the last game Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley recorded a
Randy.
Sack? Ooh, Brian is the tiebreaker on that.
I think
Brian
it was,
says Randy.
I think it was Randy, too.
Oh,
just barely.
Philly.
It's not Philly.
The Colts.
It was the Colts.
Oh, well,
they teamed up.
Oh, that's right.
They teamed up together.
They got Jacoby Brissett.
You tell it's been so long, I forgot.
It's been a while.
You went all the way to week 2.
That dude got a half a sack, but talked so much.
I was 34 when that happened.
Goodness gracious.
I'm a whole year older since the last time they got a sack.
It's been a long season.
Yeah, not good.
How many MLS Cup finals have Michael Parkhurst and Jeff Lorenowitz played in together as teammates?
Randy. One.
Nope.
Five?
It's close.
Four.
It's four.
Dang.
Okay. They played in four. They've both played in five, but that was against each other.
Right.
Was one of the,
I didn't,
one
okay.
of the times.
All right.
That's pretty
right.
impressive, though, Andy.
I knew
that
was
a listener submitted one.
Thank you for the question.
I knew it wasn't one, but I didn't know.
You thought it would be like Price is Right?
Yeah.
You guess number one?
Yeah.
What was the last football team from outside the SEC to win back-to-back national
Randy.
Titles?
USC.
Really?
Really?
The last team from outside the SEC to win back-to-back national titles.
Nebraska?
It's Nebraska.
Really?
But the Fighting John Frickies.
I thought it was because USC got the one taken? Oh.
Oh,
that's
come
I think Randy
on,
should
man.
Get that point. That's kind of nonsense.
Oh. Like I see. I got you.
Okay. You want to split
here,
a half a point?
Here, we'll split a half point.
Like Tack and Vic?
No.
Jacoby Brissett?
Y'all are splitting a sack.
That is funny right there. But that's true, though. It's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
Technically, that didn't happen,
but
it happened. We watched it, right?
Yeah, whatever. I watched it.
What is the only other golfer to win as many official PGA tournaments as Tiger Woods?
Andy. Byron Nelson? Oh, did I get it wrong?
You got it wrong.
Damn it.
Brian knew this one. I tested him.
Okay. Again, question, please.
What is the only other golfer to win as many official PGA tournaments as Tiger Woods?
Official?
Official.
Yeah, they're tied at 82.
They're tied.
I thought it was Byron Nelson.
I don't know his name.
Sam Snead.
Sam Snead. I knew that name.
Sammy.
I knew that name.
That is so bad.
Sorry, Sam.
It.
My bad.
Dang it, Sam.
What is the name of the painted area that protects a hockey goalie?
Randy. The name of the painted area that protects the goalie?
Yeah.
The hockey goalie?
Yes.
The painted area?
Yeah, the little blue area.
Oh.
I think it's blue.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the name of it?
Yeah.
Yes. It's got a name, right?
How many times are you going to repeat the question? Do you know the answer or not?
After you.
It's the crease.
Okay.
It is the crease.
Never even heard of that. Never heard that before.
In a 4-3. Oh,
never
boy.
Heard that
I
before.
Wondered, what were you going to guess?
I was not going to guess. Okay. I was like, I don't know. The net?
In a 4-3 defense, the 3 denotes the number of players in what
Randy.
Andy.
Linebacker.
Linebacker is correct. Randy now has 1.5 to Andy's 2.5 points, which is amazing.
We're like Tack and Vic. We're a regular Tack and Vic over
yeah,
here.
Pretty much.
Which pitchers are tied for the most consecutive Cy Young awards?
Andy. Greg Maddux? and Randy Johnson.
That's correct. Good they job, both man. Won four consecutive times.
Good job, Andy.
Thank you, Randy.
You're welcome.
Since 2000, since 2000, what conference is second to the SEC in college football national championships?
Randy. I said it first.
Yeah, you said it first.
ACC.
ACC is correct.
And Clemson and Florida State, really. That's it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who is the youngest player to hit 1,500 career receiving yards in the NFL?
Randy. Oh, he might have got it.
No, you got it.
You had it first.
Oh,
because I don't know the answer.
Oh, okay. 15, the youngest?
The youngest.
1,500?
The youngest player to hit 1,500 career receiving yards in the NFL.
That's 1 year, right?
That's 1 year.
Like somebody who had a good rookie season?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. 1 year?
Yeah.
Oh, 1,500 rookie. Randy Moss?
Not Randy Moss.
Odell?
Not Odell. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah.
And Brian was really happy about that one for some reason.
Yeah, Juju's, what, 19?
Oh,
and he still act like
right. Because he's super young. I get it. Okay.
You're annoyed with Juju.
Oh,
I am,
dude.
He just acts like a little kid all the time.
Kicked him in the...
All right, Randy, you're going to have to get these next three correct in order to tie Andy.
All right.
Before the Nationals, what was the last team to have its manager ejected from a World Series game?
The Braves.
The Braves.
It was the Atlanta Braves. Andy got that one.
Bobby
right.
Cox, 96.
And then we'll just do the rest for fun because Randy can't win.
Because
at this
we're
point.
Having fun, aren't we, Randy?
Oh, loads, Andy.
If you can name one of these, I will give you the point. If you can name the other two, then you will also get a point.
Three and you'll of the, be king.
Three of the founding members of the SEC are no longer in the conference. Name them.
Three Georgia
founding
Tech.
Members. Mm-hmm. Georgia Tech's one.
Oh, there's a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
Cumberland University or something like that? No, that's not it.
That's not it.
Tulane.
Tulane. And there's one more.
I don't know the other one.
What was the question?
Three of the founding members of the SEC are no longer in the conference.
Oh, okay.
Georgia Tech and Tulane are two of them.
Okay.
Do you want to guess
who's
the third
the other one?
No, Randy's checked out. It's Sewanee. It's the University of the South.
Oh, that's right.
Who?
University of the South. I didn't know that.
Oh, they still around?
I don't know, but I won, so my name goes up on the board.
Andy won, so.
All right.
And you have to write it.
Yeah, like that's going to happen.
Thanks for playing, guys.
All right.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks,
all right,
Wendy.
We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. I'm a champion, and I feel good about it.
You
Sports
should.
Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.